Well, Shabbat Shalom. This week's Torah portion is called Akav, meaning because, which in this case means as a result. And it covers Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 through chapter 11, verse 25. The charge to Israel was special and distinguishing. Israel was set apart and distinguished from all other nations of the earth. No people knew the Lord by signs, by wonders, by holy worship and ordinances, as did Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Moses said, "The Lord our God is near when we asked him for help. No other nation has a God like that. And no other nation has great enough, and no other nation is great enough to have laws and rules as good as the teachings that I give you today." Now, it was Adonai's purpose to drive out the heathen nations and to establish Israel in Canaan. He commanded Israel to destroy all these nations, and in no way was Israel to compromise with them. Now, there was a twofold reason for this complete destruction. The nations were wicked and overdue for judgment, and if left in the land, the nations would lead Israel into sin. A defiled Israel could have never given the world God's word nor his son. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, "We have these promises from God, so we should make ourselves pure, free from anything that make our bodies or our souls unclean." Our respect for God should make us try to be completely holy in the way we live. Now, Moses warns the Israelites not to be afraid of the enemy because Adonai will be with them to give them the victory. Did not Adonai deliver them from bondage in Egypt? Did he not destroy Pharaoh's army and give them the victory over the kings in the wilderness? The Lord will also give them the victory in Canaan. This victory will be in stages so that they might be able to possess the land in safety. Now, God would do the delivering, but Israel had to do the destroying. Eliminating the heathen kings, all idols, and every altar, anything that would be a snare to Israel and could lead them into sin, must be destroyed. In chapter 8, verse 7, Moses tells the people that the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with rivers and pools of water, where water flows out of the ground into the valleys and hills, a lush land of wheat, barley, vines, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. The land also contains massive stores of iron and copper. Now, Moses gives reasons and an exhortation for obedience while looking at Adonai's past mercies. Man is to not live by bread only, but by every word from the mouth of God. He reminds them how God provided for them in the wilderness, and that the Lord chastised them that they might learn obedience. Again, Moses gives them a description of the land into which they were going. He warns them that they should never forget God in their prosperity, and that they should never attribute their prosperity to themselves, but always to God. Moses tells them again of the terrible judgments that shall fall upon them should they prove unfaithful. In chapter 9, the people were informed that this very day the nation would pass over the Jordan into the land of promise, and that Adonai will go before them to deliver the enemy nations into the hands of Israel. Now, Israel had come 38 years before to the boundaries of this promised land, but because of their rebellions, they were not permitted at that time to cross the Jordan. But this time, they will surely pass over. Moses describes the formidable strength of the enemies which they were about to encounter. The nations that they were to drive out were mightier than themselves. Their cities were well fortified and the people great and tall, as Israel's own spies had previously reported. Moses assures them of the victory by the presence of the Almighty with them. God's people were told not to look upon the strength of the enemy, but upon the awesomeness of the Lord. Israel had to understand that the battle was the Lord and that their only fight was the fight of faith and to be obedient. They were to understand who to trust for their success and to whom they must look. It is the Lord, awesome in strength, terrible in battle, mighty in power, the creator of the heavens and earth, that would go before them, not only as their captain and commander in chief, but as a consuming fire. Moses reminds the nation that their whole history has been one of rebellion. He recounts several occasions when the people rebelled against the Lord's command. At Mount Sinai, Israel will worship the golden calf, which led Moses to smash the two stone tablets containing the Ten Commandments. In the wilderness, at Taberah and Massah, Kibroth Hattaavah, the Israelites again provoked the Lord to anger, and they even refused at Kadesh Barnea to enter the promised land. Moses recounts how through God's grace, two new tablets containing the Ten Commandments were made to replace the tablets that were dashed to the ground and destroyed. And had it not been for the intercession of Moses, that the whole nation would have been destroyed. Now, just as Moses interceded for Israel and saved them, so Messiah Yeshua died for us and forever makes intercession for us. It is all because of Messiah that we have such great blessings today. Now, in chapter 10, Moses reviews many of the wilderness events for the Jewish people, the making of the second set of tablets and the construction of the ark, Israel's journey from Beeroth to Masarah, where Aaron died, how Adonai separated the tribe of Levi for the service of the tabernacle, and how long Moses remained on the top of the mountain the second time. He told him about what God requires of the Israeli people and the need for their hearts to be circumcised. He points out God's flawless, gracious character and conduct, and that Israel was to always love, fear, and serve their God, and to remember all the great things Adonai has done for them and their fathers. Now, in chapter 11, two final arguments are brought to bear on the chosen people. The first argument is to persuade them to love and obey their God and keep his commandments. The second argument consists of those awful judgments that Adonai had used to punish the stiff pride of Pharaoh and the rebellion in the wilderness. Family, we would do well to remember that God will have us holy. And if we would not yield to his loving solicitations, we must suffer his stern chastisements. A few closing thoughts. If we keep our eyes on the prize, which is to live in eternity with our Heavenly Father, we will realize that we have been given every spiritual gift to reach our destiny. These spiritual gifts include the word of God, Messiah's atoning blood, and the power with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We should read the Ten Commandments and pause at each one and confess that we have broken it. either in thought, word, or deed. We should remember that by a glance, we may commit adultery. And through a thought, we may be guilty of murder. Let us constantly and consistently seek the Father's forgiveness and Messiah's atonement. Let us always pray that the Father would keep us behind the cross and under the blood. Shabbat shalom.